Thank God for the joy unspeakable. Revelation chapter number 3, where we'll be taking our text again tonight. Revelation chapter 3, if you'll be turning there, appreciate all the songs by the congregation, the choir, and the specials. And I do appreciate the words of testimony, bragging on our God. He's worthy. Worthy to be praised and honored and glorified. Amen. And it is joy unspeakable. I was thinking about on Tuesday of this past week, my mom and dad celebrated their 50th spiritual birthday. I was born into this world April the 18th, 1966. Mom and dad got saved on April 26th, 1966. I was 8 days old. They took me to revival meeting. And on Friday night of the meeting, they didn't get saved in the service, I don't think. I think they both went forward in the service, but then after the church they stayed and talked with the preacher. And God saved them by His amazing grace. Amen. And I don't know where I'd be. Miss Kristen talking about that, about having things to offer her child that was never offered to her. And I don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for the good grace of God that saved my mom and dad and let me be raised in a family like that. Amen. Mom and dad were just teenagers. Mom was 16. Dad was 17 when I was born. And in the 60s, you know what teenagers were like. Amen. And if I'd have grown up in that culture, I don't know where I'd be. But I thank God I was raised in the house of God. Amen. And by parents that knew the Lord and was saved and changed by His power. Amen. And I thank Him for that. It is joy unspeakable. No way to tell it. Amen. Somebody said it's better felt than telt. Amen. And you have to just experience it and you'll know all about it. Amen. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 is the text we're reading from. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. By the way, while you're looking there, just a minute. I mentioned about Brother Logston's meeting starting tomorrow. Brother Gray is having a meeting, actually started today. Brother Travis Clayton preaching for them through Tuesday night, just a short little revival meeting. And so be in prayer for them that God would bless there and send real revival and strengthen and help the church. It's the first revival he's had since he's been there. And pray that it won't be the last. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, pray that it'll be the best, be good, and that God just meet in there and help. And then for Joseph and Amber, while they're down there visiting, that it'll be a blessing to them as well. Pray for safety as they come back. And then the Wooders as they travel, and then the Bells getting ready to travel, remember them in your prayer. All right, having said that, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in the throne, or in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. I'll ask Brother Hall if he will lead us in prayer.
Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having been in Father's.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sending. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer.
Tonight, looking at verse number 20 and really interjecting a thought that doesn't follow my outline, so to speak, of the book of Revelation as we've looked at so far. But we've been, as I say, looking at the closing part of this closing letter to the church of Laodicea, which is the final letter of the seven to the seven churches that are in Asia. And we looked this morning at the section in which Christ gives His advice to this wayward church and her pastor. And I don't want to leave that out. I suspect myself that one of the reasons why the church was in the case that it was is because the pastor was in the case that he was. And they probably affected one another. I don't doubt that at all. But we thought upon the rebuke and the chastening that our Lord mentions. And we talked about how that He reveals His love through that rebuke and through that chastening as He shows His concern to draw them back unto Himself. Then we saw the symbolism of Christ standing outside the door, knocking at the heart's door of the sinner, seeking an entrance within. I mentioned to you that that is just the symbolism. That's not the context. The context of this verse is speaking about revival. I would hate to leave from looking at these verses and not deal with the thought of revival. Would you agree with me that the great need of our land and the great need of our day is revival? No doubt in my mind that even us, that we might think that, you know, we think maybe we're one of the last of those that are standing. We're part of the remnant. We're part of those that are trying to remain faithful, that small little group that's holding out to the end. And yet, even if we are, by the way, then surely you'll know our world's in a mess, because as sure as they need some revival, we need revival. Isn't that right? We'd all have to admit that, I believe, in our own heart, that we need revival. And so I want to look at these statements made in the context in which they are delivered, and see that Christ is offering revival to those in a lukewarm state in verse number 20. Look at it again, if you will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm going to stop just a minute. I'm going to say this. The most important part of that verse is not the knocking, and it's not the door, but it's the one that's standing at the door. The fact that Christ has not given up on the church. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now there's five distinctions I want to make, try to preach these 5 points this evening on this verse, and then I'll be done. But 5 things I want to mention. I'll deal with the first a little bit more, the first of them, and then hurry up with the last and final ones of them. But I want you to notice these 5 things. First of all, notice the invitation. Oh, I'm sorry, the initiation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He always has to start any work of God that's going to be done. It starts with God. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The initiation, then the invitation. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Then the individuality. He said, if any man. Amen. I'll say more about that. Then notice the entrance. I will come in to him. Amen. And then last of all, the intimacy. And will sup with him and he with me. Amen. Now I believe that we would do well to sit down and think about these things and consider these 5 distinctions and try to give some thought on their importance. First of all, the initiation of revival. I said it earlier and I'll say it again. I believe it's so true and so much needs to be said, that just as God always makes the first move towards a sinner, Christ is seen here making the first move towards the church in revival. He's moving towards not, and when I say the church, I know you know it already, but I'm not talking about some invisible, massive thing. I'm talking about this local, independent, maybe independent Baptist church here of the Laodiceans. That we could argue if any of the others are independent Baptists, but this one looks like they're definitely independent Baptists. Amen. But this church here, our Lord is speaking to them as a body, but He's speaking to them as individuals. And so He's offering revival not only to the body of the church, but He's offering revival to the straying saint that has grown lukewarm, and the church that has grown lukewarm through their carelessness. Now, although this pastor and the church had drifted away from the Lord, and the individual saints had begun to wander and stray from the shepherd. Yet the Savior so wonderfully steps forward to offer them an opportunity to get right with God. And He offers them an opportunity. He makes the first move towards reconciliation. That reconciliation might be made. Amen. Now, I'm going to say something right here and then I'm going to move on. But I believe it's scriptural. Sometimes in arguments between people, whether it be a man and his wife, you say, "Preacher, we don't argue." I say, "Well, you lie. And speak not the truth." Amen. But whether it be between a man and his wife, or whether it be between two fellows at work, or two ladies, however that it might be, there may be an argument that comes, there may be a rift that comes between them. One of them, somebody, has to take the initiative and start working towards reconciliation. Amen. Somebody has to do that. And sometimes it's not the one that did the hurting. Many times, I'll say most of the time, it probably has to be the one that was hurt that has to step forward. And you say, why do you believe that? Because that's scriptural. Our Lord didn't hurt the church. Our Lord never pushed aside one saint, but the saints walked away from the Lord. And the church hurt the Lord by pushing Him out the door, not having room for Him, having no place. No, He didn't fit into their schedule, into their program. And so He sort of shoved aside. Amen. Many times we get that way, by the way, especially in this day and age of time consciousness. Amen. Now, I try to be time conscious to a degree. I try not to have messages so long that the people can't put up with it. But at the same time, I try to get the truth and say the truth and get it said and not rush it so much. Because, listen, the time belongs to God, really. And what is more important, going to work in the morning or getting something from God today? Morning may not even come. There may not be a job to go to come morning time. Amen. Well, the initiation of revival. And here's my thought again. I'm going back. Our Lord's the one that was hurt. Our Lord's the one that was wronged. And yet He has enough about Him, enough character, that He steps forward and says, "Let's work this out." Amen. Now, there'd never be a divorce if the husband and the wife could agree. And it might be one that has to do it over and over and over again. Say, "Listen, let's work this thing out." Amen. Amen. And by the way, you can. I know there's things that happen. I understand that. Things that happen that are beyond our ability. But I'm saying somewhere along the line, little things become bigger and those things become even bigger. But if we would just start even when they're small, and maybe we're the ones that were wronged, but we have enough character about us to be as our Lord and say, "Listen, I'm not going to let this thing simmer and fester. I want to deal with it now." Amen. Amen. Well, and I may have said this before. You've heard the story about, the Bible talks about, let not the sun go down on your wrath. One fellow said, "Why would you go to sleep when you can stay up and fight?" Amen. I'm not talking about fight through the night. When I say let's work it out, I'm not talking about let's punch it out and let's say best man win. But I'm talking about let's try to deal with this thing. And our Lord's standing at the door and knocking. And listen, He's saying we need to fix this problem. We can't let it keep going. He makes the first move, the initiation. Now this, I believe, not only shows the exaltation of Christ in that He is the one who makes the offer. He is the one that makes the first move in spiritual revival. But it not only shows His exaltation, He's God, so He has to make the first move. But it also shows His condescension. And that He'd come down to our level and He'd say, "I'm willing to talk to you even though you've not been willing to talk to me lately. I'm willing to try to draw nigh to you, get a little closer to you even though you've been walking away from me." It shows His wonderful condescension. I'll say this, He's not the one that shut the door. The latch for the door is on the inside. And we see that in the fact that He's standing out there knocking. He's not the one that shut the door. He's not the one that latched the door. And yet He's the one who is knocking at the door and asking to be allowed in. Amen. The one who has been offended. The one who has been rejected. Oh, what love and what mercy that He's willing to come back to us and say, "I'm willing to walk with you and have revival." Amen. Amen. I know that we're living in the last days, and I know that the love of many's waxed cold in this day. The Bible said it'd be that way. Amen. And yet our Lord's not satisfied with that. He yet wants us to draw nigh to Him. Just when the church of the Laodiceans had lifted themselves up in their own pride and their own opinion of themselves, Jesus humbled Himself once more and asked for admittance and renewed fellowship. Amen. I'm going to say this and move on, but it is a sad fact that in human nature, it seems like that since Adam opened the door to sin, the human heart seems to continually have the door open to sin, but closed to the Savior. It seems like our homes, the doors are open for the world, but they're closed to the Lord. It seems like that's human nature, and it's sad. Too often our human, I'm talking about saved folk now, too often our human nature overcomes our spiritual nature, amen. And even as children of God, we may drift toward the siren call of the world as the world calls and pipes unto us and we listen to it and we get enthralled with its music, and all the time we're shutting the door on that still small voice that's calling to us and begging us that we might have a spiritual renewal and a spiritual revival, amen. We need to listen, hearken to His voice. He's still calling. And He's still knocking. Amen. Yet, as sad as the fact is that all we like sheep are prone to go astray and to wander, there is an equally wonderful fact that we have a great and glorious Shepherd who will not allow the sheep to wander off uncalled and unbidden. Amen. We've got a wonderful Savior, and I like what Fanny Crosby said. She said it right. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Amen. He sees the sheep straying, and He never says, well, they look better going than they do coming. He never says, I'm fed up with that one. I'm tired of its foolishness. Just let it go. You know what He does? That still small voice still calls out. Amen. And He still sends His voice to go get us. And sometimes He'll even leave the 99 and go searching after that one that He might restore us to the fold again. Amen. Thank God for such a wonderful Savior. I want to show you some scripture on that. Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 34. That's in the Old Testament, not an often used book, but we'll read it, and it's a prophetic book and statement. Ezekiel chapter number 34, and then we'll go to the New Testament. Ezekiel 34. I'm talking about the initiation of revival. Our Lord starts it. He's the one who does the knocking. I'll look back at verse number 11. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse number 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. God said, I'm a shepherd, but I'm not just a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Amen. He's the great shepherd that will not allow His sheep to scatter without Him going after them. He said, I'm going to seek them out. I'm going to search them out. And thank God He'll find them. Amen. Matthew chapter number 18, if you want to turn back there. Matthew chapter number 18. Verses 12 and 13, I've alluded to these already. Great verses of Scripture. And they're repeated in Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read those. But our Lord says this, Matthew 18, verse number 12 and verse number 13. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray? Just one. One out of 100. You can't get much more individual than that. And you can't get much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Intricate, I guess, is a good word. In other words, if we had 100 people, we don't have 100 people. Let's say we had 100 people and 10 of them got up and walked out. Sometimes we might say, well, we still got 90. But our Lord said, I don't care if it's just one. I'm going after that one. Amen. even if it's just one. One out of 100. In other words, our Lord's not, how many is our Lord interested in losing? None. That's what he said when he's talking about Judas, that he's not lost any. All that the Father hath given me, he said, I've not lost one save Judas. And the fact was, Judas never was really with him. He is a devil from the beginning. Amen. He was an opposer from the beginning. But our Lord, those sheep that are his, he's interested in going after. I'm looking back, Matthew 18, verse number 12. Let me get back there. How think ye if a man having 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Amen. Our Lord's interested in every one of his sheep. That's the point I'm making. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 10, and we'll look at this verse on the good shepherd. But while you're turning, and while I'm turning, I'm going to say this. Our Lord is interested in every one of his sheep. You may be sitting here tonight, and you may think, well, I'm just a nobody. I don't really count. I really don't matter. Nobody will miss me. Nobody will pay attention. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that loves you individually, and he's interested in you individually. If you're a part of his church, you're important to him. He's concerned about you, and he's not willing that any of you go astray and perish in the world. Amen. He wants every one of us to have revival. What a blessing when somebody gets revived. Isn't it a blessing to see somebody get on fire for God? Brother Simpson talking about the Barnetts over here and seeing how they got saved and how they've been changed and they testify and they sing. That's a blessing to see somebody get on fire for God. But God don't want it just to be one or two or three or four. He's not satisfied unless it's every one of us on fire for God. Amen. Now you don't have to act like they act. You don't have to act like I act. I wish you would. I wish you'd act out more than I do. Amen. Amen. But our point is this. We ought not get astray from God. And when we start getting a little sideways with God, we better recognize our Lord takes notice. And he's not satisfied with us walking away from him. John 10, our Lord says this in verse number 11. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The phrase there, our Lord's the good shepherd, it's said in verse number 11 and verse number 14. He's not only a good shepherd, he's the great shepherd. Amen. He's the shepherd that doesn't lose any of his sheep. He's not satisfied in his bride coming in with spots and tatters and torn garments. He wants a bride that is perfect and pure and clean and spotless and brilliant for his glory and his honor. Amen. He wants us to go into glory revived. Well, to go through this world revived. Well, to ask God to help us, Lord, that we not have you on the outside, but we have sweet communion with you day in and day out. And when it's time for us to go, we can go into glory with glory in our own soul. Amen. That's what our Lord wants. But he said the hireling's going to flee and will run away. You know why the hireling runs from the wolf? Because he cares more about himself than he does the sheep. Because the sheep are not his. But the shepherd loves his sheep. Amen. The shepherd will stand at the door and guard and defend the sheep. Amen. The shepherd may beat back the wolf and defend and protect the sheep. And he also comforts the sheep. Thank God for a good shepherd. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. One commentator I read after made comment about the tenses of the verse back in Revelation 3. Let me get back there. Revelation 3:20. Now this one commentator made reference to the verb tenses in this statement. I want to show it to you. Just the first statement. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said these verb tenses in that statement show, first of all, an attitude deliberately taken. I'm still here standing, even though you've not paid attention to me. That's as if that's what he's saying. Although you've moved on, I'm not moving on. I'm staying here knocking because I want to call you back. Amen. Listen, I know times are changing, but Jesus is not changing. People may move on, but Jesus is not moving on. He's calling us back to the old paths. Amen. Calling us back to the right way. But it is an attitude deliberately taken. Secondly, not only behold, he's standing at the door, but he's knocking. That shows an action that is continually going on. He's not giving up though you don't answer it the first knock. He's not giving up though you don't answer the second knock. Listen, I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit, in His goodness to those of us that are saved, God hounds us, if I can say that. He continues on to us saying, you need to change here. You need to change this. You ought to do this. You know you ought to do that. And I'm thankful for a God and a Holy Ghost that continually guides me day and night and is leading me into all truth. Amen. That's his job. That's his goal. That's the job of the shepherd. He's announcing that he's still standing there. And he has a desire to enter in and fellowship with us. The initiation of revival. Secondly, I want you to notice the invitation of revival. If any man hear my voice and open the door. It appears to me, I wrote my notes this way, that it appears that this door, which separates the lukewarm Christian from sweet fellowship with the Lord. It appears to me that that door moves real easy on its hinges. The hinges are greased. In other words, here's my point. That when we don't pay attention to keep the door open, the door easily shuts and blocks us off from our Savior. Sometimes it's not a deliberate act. Sometimes we get up and we're just too busy to spend time with the Lord. The day goes by, we think we're going to, Lord, I'm going to take some time, but we don't take the time. Lord, I'm going to spend some time, and I'm not just talking about reading your Bible and prayer, but I'm talking about really walking with the Lord, and sometimes we just get caught up in other things, and we're not holding the door open, therefore the door very easily just shuts. And our Lord's outside knocking. But here's what I thought. That door may easily shut, but that door can also be easily reopened if the one from the inside will only hearken to the voice of the Savior, get a hold of the door, and invite Him back inside. That door can open just as easily as it shut. Amen. Now look at our Lord here in this scripture. Our Lord is not outside shouting curses at us. He's not outside saying, it's your fault, you big dummy. Amen. That's how we do it, ain't it? Amen. Our Lord's not on the outside shouting curses at us. He's on the outside, sweetly calling to us, saying, open the door and I will come in and sup with you. Amen. He's outside, sweetly calling. He does not withhold His blessings from a grudging heart, but rather He holds forth His blessings, desiring that we might share these blessings with Him, that we might partake of these blessings with Him. Amen. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that even in this day, I believe God is not willing that any should perish. God wants every man to repent and come to God. God's not written this generation off and wants them to go to hell, but He's not going to save them against His will, and He's not going to save them in a cold, barren womb of a church. We're going to have some zeal. We're going to have some fervency. We're going to have some desire for our Lord. And when we have desire for our Lord is able to bring sinners in and save them by His amazing in grace. And He wants to do that. But He won't do that as long as the door's shut on our womb. Amen. He won't do that. There's picturesque language here. You see it. A picture over and over as our Lord shows Himself knocking at the door. Here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced. I'm talking about knocking at the heart door. Not the heart door. Knocking at the door of the church. Wanting in. And I'm convinced that even in this late hour of church history, Christ longs to hold sweet communion with His people. We don't have to go out with a whimper and a little ember fading. We can go out with a shout. And I believe we can go out in revival. The church can leave out of this world in revival and in the fire burning and blazing hot for the glory of Jesus Christ. I believe we can. Amen. He longs to have sweet communion with His people. Even in these sad and barren days of spiritual declension, Jesus wants to meet with us and hold wonderful fellowship with us. I believe that. Amen. We do not have to remain a lukewarm condition of heart. Amen. We can experience a great revival if we will but listen to His voice and turn to Him in fellowship. How does our Lord speak? He said it's His voice. Now, it's interesting. There's a knock, but it's His voice. It's in Song of Solomon. No, Brother Hall covered that. I'm sure he did. Matter of fact, I've heard some of the tapes. We'll look at that in a minute. But our Lord speaks, not just knocking, but He's speaking. He's calling through His voice. How does He do that? With His Word is how He does it. Through His Word, God speaks to us. We see His longing towards us through His Word. And I'll say this, as long as God still speaks through His Word, there is hope for revival even in these last days. As long as God's Word's alive and God's still speaking through His Word, there is hope for revival. And I believe that. Amen. Amen. Now, this picturesque language of this verse, Revelation, is taken right out of the symbolism of Song of Solomon. If you want to turn there, Song of Solomon in chapter number 5 is where we see that story of the relationship between the bride and her beloved bridegroom. Revelation, or Song of Solomon chapter 5. And I'm going to read, first of all, verses 1 through 4, comment about it, and then read some more. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. It's a symbolic picture. I believe it's Solomon and his bride, the Shunammite. But I believe it's also symbolically showing us the Lord and His church. Here's what he says in verse number 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spices. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, and drink. Or drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Look at verse 2. This is the bride. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. Now you see the picture? Something has happened. They've had fellowship. Something has happened, and he's outside. She's inside. She said, I'm asleep, but my heart waketh. Almost, it's like I'm dreaming. Here's her answer as he calls to her. He's outside knocking and speaking, calling with his voice. She answers, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? It's as if she's in this sleepy state, which is a lukewarm state. She's in the bed. She's comfortable. She's in a bed of luxury. And she's asleep, a sleep of ignorance. That's exactly where the Laodiceans were at, by the way. They thought everything was going pretty good, but the Lord wasn't there. He's on the outside. They're comfortable, but He's on the outside. Amen. Now, look at what goes on in verse number, where'd I get to? Verse number 4. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. Amen. Listen, let's don't be as the church of the Laodiceans that thought they were doing fine without his fellowship. They thought everything was nice and warm and cozy in the bed. They could just sleep on. They could just fold their hands, a little more folding the hands, a little more slumber. They didn't realize that they was lacking the fellowship with their beloved. But they were comfortable in that bed of luxury and in their sleep of ignorance. But listen. Listen to the longing voice on the outside. As that voice calls and says, we can have sweet communion together. We can enjoy times like times of old. We can have times like the times of heaven. Amen. We can be living in Canaan now. Recognize His tenderly outstretched hand. Recognize His tenderly reaching to His voice. And run to Him. Fling wide open the door. And invite Him inside that we can have that sweet communion. Don't say, well, I'm comfortable. I'm not going to mess my feet up. I'm not going to mess up the schedule and the program. Run to Jesus. Brother Hall told me just this week, we'd gone to Nashville We got talking about that revival in 1996 when Brother Smith was here. And he told me Brother Elliott preached from this verse one time. And he preached on, we need a bowel movement. Amen. That's what he preached on. We need a bowel movement. She said, my bowels were moved for him, verse 4. Now, what that's talking about there, and I'd like to have heard that message. I can just imagine Brother Elliott preaching that. But what they're talking about there is the fact that her insides, it's like they turned to jelly. Some of you remember those days. Amen. You probably remember those days. And I'm not just talking about when two of you met. I'm talking about when we first met him. You remember those days when we'd come in and they'd just sing Amazing Grace, and or they'd just maybe sing Victory in Jesus, and we recognized we had the victory in Jesus. That was our beloved that's talking about. Amen. And somebody'd say something good about the Lord and we'd say, amen, I know that's true. They're talking about my beloved. He's fairer than 10,000. And we'd feel our insides just turn to jelly, and our insides just move. You know why? Because the glory was down in our soul and it was fresh, and we saw His hand again, and we were reminded of His love again. And I'm telling you, that's what we need in this day. Amen. That's what we need in this day. The nation of Israel. I believe that's symbolic in here as well. It's not just a bride. The nation of Israel is called the wife of Jehovah. The nation of Israel is revealed in here as well. The nation of Israel waited too long. They shrugged off God and His offer of salvation too long, and He withdrew from them, just like He did here in Song of Solomon. Look down at verse number 5. After her bowels were moved for Him, verse 5, I rose up to meet Him, to open to my beloved. And my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Now that wasn't coming from her. That was the influence He'd left behind as He had reached His hand in the door. And she rose up to open. Look at verse 6. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when He spake. I sought Him, but I could not find Him. I called Him, but He gave me no answer. Israel waited too long, and God moved from them. Offered salvation to the Gentiles. Thank God. Now, here's my point. God made numerous calls to Israel. God made numerous offers to the nation. And He set Israel aside for the time being. He's not through with them. He's going to deal with them again, according to the Scriptures. Matter of fact, if you want to look, turn over to Hosea. Little bitty prophet Hosea. Go by Daniel. You go by Ezekiel, then Daniel, and I think, let me get over there and see if that's not right. You'll walk up to Hosea. Turn to chapter number 14 of the book of Hosea. Last chapter. If you get to Joel, just back up a page or two. Hosea chapter 14 shows the offer God's made to Israel and the promise God's made to Israel. And none of God's promises have ever fallen or will fall. Amen. If they've not been fulfilled yet, they will be fulfilled, as God promised. Hosea chapter 14, verse number 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Jump down to verse 4. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. Amen. God said, Israel, don't you see that when I offered you and you refused and I turned, and now you're getting hungry for God? There's going to come a day they're going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. And then he'll come. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 54. And I'm not going to run a lot of these, but I've just a few. I want you to see it. That God's not through with Israel. And I'm trying to lay a foundation and make a point. If he's not through with Israel, I don't believe he's through with the church. Amen. After all they've done, if he still has love for them, I believe he's got love for us as well. Amen. Isaiah 54, verses 4 through 8. Isaiah 54, verse number 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, though a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Hallelujah. God said to Israel, although I had to set you aside for a while, it was just for a little moment. It was just for a little space of anger. But he said, I'm back. The day's going to come, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to call you back, and I'm going to be knocking at your door, and you can be received. Amen. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Again, Isaiah and Jeremiah both speak of this profusely. But Jeremiah 29, he talks about Israel going into Babylonian captivity, that they're going to come back. By the way, he mentions that there'll be 70 years of Babylonian captivity. That's what Daniel read that gave Daniel hope. Brother Bell was talking about that this morning in Sunday school. Daniel read that prophecy and knew that it was true, and Daniel had hope that Israel was going back. But that prophecy extends on beyond the 70 years and deals with the 70 weeks of Daniel, that deals with that 7-year tribulation period. I don't have time to deal with that tonight, but it's all in there. Look at verse number 12 of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. That's all about revival. And will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place which I caused you to be carried, or whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. Turn over to chapter 31. God said to them there, he's saying, listen, if you'll call unto me, if you'll seek after me, the day will come and I'll come back. You'll find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will turn your captivity. I'm simply saying, if God can revive Israel, Israel being a valley of dry bones, Israel being an army of dead, dry individuals, the nation is seemingly gone, and yet God can revive them. There's hope, thank God, that He can revive us. Amen. If He longs to revive them, and He does because He's loved us with an everlasting love, amen, then He longs to revive us as well. Amen. Jeremiah 31, verses 8 through 10 again. Jeremiah 31, verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind, and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it to the isles afar off, and say, listen, he that scattered Israel will gather him. Hallelujah. He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Amen. There are numerous quotes in the Old Testament and many in the New Testament as well that declare that God has not given up totally on Israel yet. Amen. There will come a day when God will reunite them and bring them together and give them revival. They're going to face much persecution and much destruction before that time. But there's coming a day, according to the prophecies, that 2/3 of them will be destroyed, but 1/3 of them will be revived, and they'll face that and experience that revival. And a nation shall be born in a day, what the Bible talks about. Amen. Now, I'm saying that for this reason. That ought to give us of the New Testament church some hope. That ought to give us hope. We realize that we're a part of the bride of Christ. That ought to cause us to be comforted that if God will revive Israel, His wife, from their backsliding after all these years, surely there's hope that He would revive us that are part of His church if we just hear His voice and open the door unto Him. Amen. Now, I've talked about the initiation of revival and the invitation for revival. Let me talk about the individuality of revival. And I'll give these last three points quickly. The individuality. Again, the statement in Revelation 3:20. If any man, I underlined it, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Many scholars say that the Lord's talking to the pastor there. That He's talking specifically to the pastor. That if he'd open that door, they could have revival. Well, I'll say this. If the pastor gets revived, it'll help the church. You can say amen right there. It won't offend me. That's right. If the pastor gets revived, it'll help the church. But I don't believe, from looking at it, I don't believe that he's talking exclusively or even primarily to the pastor. I believe he's talking to any man in the church. Amen. That's what it says, any man. Well, they surmise that Christ is instructing this pastor to open the door of the church and allow Christ back inside. But the text says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Obviously, does not mean that it takes a unanimous decision or even a majority vote. Amen. We don't have to take a vote and say, do we want to have revival? It doesn't matter what the majority wants. If any man hears his voice. That's what he said. If any man hears his voice. What about a lady? I believe that word any man deals with any person. It's not just talking about a grown man. It can even be a boy or a girl. Amen. Any person that hears his voice and hearkens unto him and draws nigh to him, he will draw nigh to them and they can experience revival, and that revival fire can burn and kindle and spark even on others. Amen. I've heard Brother Sammy say it, and I've heard Brother Fane Jordan say it, that the best way to start a fire is not with some old log. It's not with some big log. It's with some little kindling wood. Get a little kindling wood together, amen, and blow on it a little bit and spark a little bit in there in that little kindling wood. When it starts smoldering and it starts burning, after a while you can bring on the old logs, thank God. You can pile on the lumber then and you can have a blazing, burning hot fire. I'm simply saying God can use little you and little me. If we'll only hear His voice and call unto Him, we can experience revival. There's individuality. One little person can have a great revival if they'll only come to God. Amen. Amen. I believe anyone that hears the call of Christ and will move towards Him can experience a great spiritual rejuvenation that we call revival. Down through history, there's been numerous spiritual awakenings. We've read about them, and I realize that you can read them, and I'll just be honest, you can read some and you can poke holes in them. You can say, well, I don't believe that was a real revival because this is what happened or this didn't happen. You can find another one and say, well, I don't know if that was really revival or not because this did happen and this didn't happen. But listen, we're living in a land and a day, we're living in a world of failure. God sends revival. If He sends revival, it'll be to humans who are still human, and there will be error. Amen. We could come in here, God could fall on this place, and people shout in the Spirit, and yet one person could be out of the Spirit and in the flesh. Isn't that right? And that one give a bad name to the whole thing. Amen. Don't you imagine when Mary brought that ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus with that, and the Bible said the odor filled the house. Don't you imagine that Lazarus was pleased with that? Don't you imagine the Lord was pleased with that? I imagine that Mary and Martha was pleased with that, but Judas wasn't. And some of the other disciples listened to him and they said, you know, why this waste? This ought to have been sold and given to feed the poor. And our Lord said, the poor you'll always have with you. Amen. This woman had done what she could. She anointed him for his burial. Thank God. Amen. Here's what I'm saying about that. We can have a real revival as it has been down through the ages. We read about them. And again, we can poke holes. But I'm telling you, in those individual revivals, in those times it did not happen that everybody got right with God, the whole world turned to God, or even a whole church turned to God, but one person did, and then another did, and then another did, and God moved and blew across that place and did great and mighty things, and the same God is still God and can do the same thing today if we'll only hear His voice. I believe that. Amen. Revival is when individuals hear God's call and open the door. The individuality of revival. Number four, the entrance of revival. He said, I will come to Him. That's what revival is. It's when Jesus shows up.
Amen.
Amen. This fact does not require much expositing. We don't have to study or think on it. Revival is the presence of God in our midst. It may be shouting. And you know it. In the 96 revival, I've heard the comments about it. It may be shouting, or it may just be repenting. It may be an exultant spirit. I mean, just, boy, the goodness of God. Or it may be condemning us, getting clean and getting right with God. But my point is this. It don't have to happen like we think it ought to happen. What we need is the presence of God. The presence of God that humiliates us or exalts us, whichever it is. We need the presence of God. Amen. If He is absent, all of our service is vain. But if He is present, souls can be saved, lives can be healed, seekers can find direction, and the church can experience revival when He is present. Amen. It's not that we need more organization. It's not that we need better and more eloquent preachers. It's not that we need more skillful singers and musicians. It's not that we need a more elaborate and decorative building. It's that we need Him. That's what revival is. And my last one is the intimacy of revival. Look with me in verse number 20 again. I will come in to Him, and here's my phrase, and will sup with Him and He with me. Now, if you'll hang on, this may be the best part of the sermon. A lot of people think the last point's the best part of the sermon. But I'm true. This might be the intimacy. Notice this. Christ offers to sup with, those two words, sup with the one who opens the door. This denotes a lingering and lasting fellowship. It's not talking about breakfast. A lot of times breakfast is eaten quickly because we're on the run. We're on the move. There's a lot to be done. Amen. It's not talking about lunch. Again, lunch may be eaten quickly, in a hurry, because we're busy. We got a lot to do yet to get done. But supper comes at the end of the day when we're ready to rest. We're ready to relax. Amen. The business has been done. It's a time of relaxation. And in many families, and I believe this is wonderful, many families, it's a time of reunion around the table. Dad's gone off to work. Mama's busy here. The kids are doing school. But at supper time, we sit down and we talk together. Amen. By the way, I'll just plug it. That's one reason why I am against one of them going off in that room with a television there and somebody going off in a room over yonder, television. Everybody's eating TV dinners scattered all over the house. I'm against that. I like the gathering together. Amen. And here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said, I'll come in and it won't be a run in and run out. I'll come in and we'll sit down. Praise God. When the presence of God just sits down.
Amen.
That happened in 96, didn't it? Sometimes they'd go long in the service. Amen. Some people say, well, I ain't got time for that. Well, we need that. We need God's presence just to sit down and dwell among us. Amen. The day is soon ending. It's time for supper. Amen. That's why we need to sit down and sup with the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity it is to sit down at the table of God. I'm going to read you Song of Solomon chapter 2. You don't have to turn. I'm sure I know Brother Hall covered this. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verses 3 through 6. Here's symbolically the picture again. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Can you remember those days when the presence of God was there and you just sat down and enjoyed feasting at his table? It goes on. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Amen. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Amen. You know what she's saying there? She's saying how sweet it is Just a fellowship with my beloved. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to stay here and soak it up and enjoy the presence of my beloved. And our Lord Jesus is saying, I'm at the door knocking. Do you remember? Do you hear my voice? Do you long for those days? Do you really long for sweet communion with Jesus? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is He calling you to lay something aside so you can spend time with Him? Is He calling you to set something down so you can get up and go to the door because He's standing at the door knocking? I'm talking about the church for revival. Is He calling you today? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth. We looked there at how You told Israel You wasn't through with them. And I thank You, Lord, You're not through with us. Although the day is dark, although the hour is late, although the world's in a mess, although we are in a lukewarm condition, You're still knocking. You're still offering revival. You're still offering us an intimate time of fellowship, sweet communion, sitting down and relaxing with our Savior and enjoying the presence of our God. Oh, Lord, help us to hear Your voice. Help us, Lord, to realize in our own heart that there's nothing worth losing that fellowship over. There's nothing of any value. We could just shove it all aside to get with Thee. Lord, help us to turn loose of these trinkets and treasures that we think are valuable, but they've allowed the door to shut between us and Thee. Help us to cast them aside. Run to the door and open unto Thee. Meet with us, oh Savior, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord? Do business with God if He spoke to your heart while we sing.